This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
C-Lab brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Dunkin' Donuts, Grand Bahama News, Janae's Uniform Center, Prince Masters, RF Bank and Trust, Right Honorable Hubert A. Ingram Chambers, and Royal Star Assurance.
I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232, 323-6232, or 325-4316, 325-4316. Or 325-4259. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas Channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show, or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. Well, I told you all that I went to the dentist and I got an extraction, so I'm working through this and hopefully it all goes well. Since the dentist was talking to me right after he did the extraction, I figured he didn't have a problem with me speaking. But it is my face is dumb. And so if I sound a little funny, that's the reason. It's too late to try and find something to substitute. So here we are. I wanted to mention something. Now, I do run the risk of offending some partisan political feelings today. I do run that risk. I fully appreciate that is possible. But that's not my intention. Not at all. When I was in office in the Ingram administration, the last time, one of the things that was a constant refrain from those opposed to us was to reference people in Grand Bahama who were living in cars. Y'all remember that? It was a way of implying that we were doing nothing for Freeport, that people in Freeport were suffering so badly that they would force some of them to live in their cars. It was a constant refrain. It was all over the radio. People were writing about it. PLP operatives in particular, intensely used that. And to be honest, it stung, right? If you're in government, if you're a member of parliament representing areas in Grand Bahama, you hated that. Cause impression that you were callous, you didn't care, and it was your behavior, your actions, your policies, your decisions that led to people living in their vehicles. And it was constant. It was straight through and up until the election, which we lost. Not because of that alone, but it was part of the narrative. So here I am in 2024, having now for a couple of years been more often in Freeport than not. Can I tell you a couple of observations I make? There are still people living in cars or living out of cars. Not many more people are living in abandoned buildings. Do you hear me? Abandoned buildings, whether they are apartment complexes, unfinished houses, or commercial places that have been abandoned, people are living in them. Some people set up shop wherever they want as their home. Today, August 8th, 2024, that is a reality in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. In Grand Bahama, Freeport Grand Bahama, where the Ingram administration is not in power, the F is not in power, but that is a reality today. This morning, I got up very early to go and do something. God is my witness. This is what I witnessed. Four people, downtown Freeport, walking from downtown. They were just past the courts and the Gerald Bartlett police headquarters. Four people. I happen to know three of them. I mean, when I say no, I mean, I've seen them around. And one of them is an elderly man who seems like he's homeless. One was is a drunkard who I don't know where he finds to live, but he's up all kinds of hours and he's almost always drunk. One is a young lady, she cannot be more than 30 years old, who has a terrible scar on her face, I understand, from having had lye thrown on her. And she is always on the streets, always. I don't know, she's always on the streets. And she was dressed very scantily. Not as if she's doing, that's just what she was wearing, right? And then there was someone else behind her, a gentleman. They were all walking on a line going somewhere. And I saw them after I had seen a man who lives in an unfinished building. Then I went downtown, and as I was in the ATM machine, a lady was standing up in the middle of the parking lot talking to herself. And so a gentleman stopped and must have given her like a dollar or something like that. And I was behind him, so she stopped me and she started to talk to me when clearly in a way that suggested to me she was mentally unwell. But she asked me if I could give her, you know, something so she could get some, she said, some liquid. I said, what kind of liquid are you meaning? She said, well, I wanted some Arizona. Because, or some coffee, because I'm walking up and down all the time, so I need some liquid. So I said to her, you know, well, I can get you to Arizona. I have my own place, and I can go and get you something to drink. She said, yeah, but you could go right to that place right there and you could get me some corned beef and Arizona. I said, you want corned beef? I said, well, I could get you some corned beef and you want corned beef and grits? She said, no, I want corned beef and bread, and toast bread. And then she started talking to me with the CIA and stuff like that. I said, anyways, let me go and get you the meal and drink, which I did, and brought it back to her. And as I was leaving, I said to myself, you know, this is like a lot of folk. So you know what I decided to do today? It took 20 minutes, folks, driving in a limited part of Freeport of people who seem unwell walking the streets. In 20 minutes, I had 7 photos. And these are not of people who I already know are mentally unwell. About 10 at least, that I know myself. So it prompted me to say a couple of things. First, I hope that we end the stupid narrative. Let me say it again for those of you who are very sensitive. I hope we end the stupid narrative about, oh, look at these people living in their cars. Look at these people living in these abandoned buildings. This is all on the government in power. I would not insult the intelligence of intelligent people doing that today. Even though it is true that under this administration, that is true. But I would never suggest those people are in the situation they're in because of the Davis administration. That would be stupid. It would be ignorant of me to say so. Those people have an abundance of circumstances most of us don't know, and it may be useful to be able to find out what is driving this escalating number of people who seem to be, one, homeless, and two, mentally unwell, walking the streets in Freeport and in New Providence. And to not be stupid enough to ascribe that to the partisan politics of our day. It may be good politics, but it is stupid humanity. Absolutely ignorant. And if you were somebody who did it before, you were ignorant. If you are an FNM who did it or does it, you are ignorant. If you are a PLP who did it or doing it, you are ignorant to do such a thing. It's nonsense. And I hope it never enters the narrative fray of the Bahamas. Now, mind you, if you're in the PLP, you might catch some of that now in the politics of our day, because people will remember what you did when you were out of office. Some of you, they will remember, and they may decide to do that. I don't subscribe to it. I just think it's ignorant. So that's the first thing I wanted to point out. It was too stark, too clear, and I remembered it too well because I remembered how insulting it was when I was in office and had people ignorantly saying such a thing as if to say, look at what y'all are doing to these people. Absolute ignorance. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Join us in helping to support the Bahamas Children's Emergency Hostel. When doing your shopping at Janae's Uniform Center, just drop your coins or more in the special donation box.
You can also help by donating vitamins, snacks, medicines, books, and more.
Visit the Bahamas Children's Emergency Hostel directly, or you can donate online at bceh242.org or call 361-4124 or 807-6155.
And thank you for helping us.
The Bahamas Children's Emergency Hostel. Together, we can make a difference.
Beat the heat with Dunkin's Happy Hour Colada Special. Every day from 4 to 6 p.m., enjoy a refreshing medium colada for just $4. Dive into fun, refreshing flavors like strawberry, blue raspberry, and vanilla bean. Feeling adventure or frozen coffee. Whatever your choice, we've got the perfect cool-down treat. Hot temperatures call for frozen drinks. So swing by Dunkin' from 4 to 6 p.m. and pick up a medium colada for only $4. Dunkin' Happy Hour. Sip, smile, and stay cool only at Dunkin'. The Bahamas runs on Dunkin'.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720, or you can text us on 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, Mr. Lang, I agree with you about not making this a narrative, but just like the PLP used this issue politically, so shall the FNM. Heavy is the head that wears the crown. It is much worse than you are making it out to be. It's much worse than I'm making it out to be. What is it that you know me to be making it out to be? I describe what I know. Wow. So last time I was there, I saw families living out of their cars on the beach. I only realized this as I took my girls on Tino Beach for 3 days straight and encountered those persons each time. Shake my head. One of them was a well-known employee from the shipyard, fell on hard times, something must be done. It can't be worse than I am making it out to be. I am describing what I experienced, right? And see, you described one situation involving a couple of people, so you don't even know how bad it is. You don't know what I know and what I've seen. I'm just saying, right? I mean, I understand what you're saying. But we only could describe what we observe. Nobody's done, as far as I'm aware, an extensive study on this matter. So who knows how bad it is, right? That was the second thing I wanted to get to. I think it's clear from just casual observation that many more people are falling into this situation. Many more people. And you know, see, I don't want to get emotional or about it. Dealing with mentally unwell people is. And I used to be a youth director and would have occasion to deal with such people. It is really tough. It can be mentally draining. Remember, these people are mentally unwell. The way we think, the way we reason, the way we behave in general, this is not their way. I was talking to that lady this morning, and I have to tell you, it was just bizarre. You hear me? Bizarre. This this lady started talking about stuff. I was like, I didn't have to be a medical practitioner to know something is afoot. But she doesn't sound unintelligent. She's very articulate. You can tell she's educated. In fact, she said that. But she was just talking with supposition. And when you have to do that, when you cannot connect with a normal string of things with mentally unwell people, no matter how you try, it's really draining. And then, you know, they aren't going to be fixed because you got them a meal. They're not going to be fixed because you gave them some clothes. Whatever that underlying issue is, that's not going to be fixed by any simple interaction with you. And so the question becomes, like, who's ready to commit to a long interaction with them toward the support they require? And then that's why I think their families, because I always ask this question when I see the situation. I'm thinking, if I had a brother, sister caught in that circumstance, like, what would I not be prepared to do? Right? Recognizing how difficult it is. So I think, where are these people's families? They're walking up and down the street. You think these people don't have family who live here, who see them? This is a small place. But, so it's tough. And then I ask myself, I mean, listen to me. Us who are in government, like, we say we care, right? And honestly, we believe we care. And I honestly believe that. These aren't hundreds of people. They're not hundreds of people. They are maybe a couple dozen people. It must be possible for us to have the kind of intervention that doesn't deprive them of their freedom, you know. It provides them with a level of support that might prevent them from harming themselves or being abused by others or harming other people. That can't cost us. We decided on one occasion to spend $30 million on Junkanoo Carnival. $60 million. We spend millions and millions of dollars on things that, honestly, at the end of the day, will not really matter. If we can't pour some millions of dollars into that care, you say, well, but they get themselves in the same situation. Yeah, but we say we are human beings who care. Right? It has to be possible, I think, to do something. Yeah, you could say, oh, the church should. And church. Listen to me. You see these churches in the Bahamas? I'm saying some of them ain't making no money. But plenty of these churches have established operations that require expenditure that uses up all, if not more than all, their tithes and offerings. They ain't gonna solve that problem. They may be a partner with the government in solving that problem, as in providing some support. That's what I'm saying, right? Some place for people to sleep, some place for people to get a meal, basic. Some place for people to get a shower, bath, right? Basic. You and Grandma Mama. There are a lot of homes in Grand Bahama that have either been repossessed or deteriorated to the point of not being able to live in. It don't cost the government nothing to buy up a few of them. Nothing. The government of the Bahamas spend $80,000 on a house renovated for 30-40 that grand to be a save something for people. I'm just saying. But this problem is growing. It's not shrinking. I have the photos. One woman she's sitting under a palm tree in the Grand Bomb Power Company yard. One girl, on time, she was laying down on the walkway with her sheet and her pillow and her tam and everything, like she was home in her bed, on the walkway, the highway right there, in front of a hotel. Now, I get calls from people sometimes who say they're homeless, they need help and support. And I can tell you the truth. Sometimes I am very skeptical. So I'm not talking about that situation. I'm talking about these mentally unwell folk who are floating around the place in the way that we see. And the question is, are we going to just keep driving by and doing nothing about it? Nothing much about it. That's all I'm saying. Say, Lang, if anyone was working for the shipyard for more than 10 years, should set themselves up good unless they are wasteful. Yeah, sometimes people don't make the best decisions in the world, but what does that mean in the end? They are now in trouble. Well, you got yourself in the same mess. I'm not helping you. Why is people's boat fall on their knees and ask God? Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back. This break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Start your mornings at Burger King Nassau with the new Independence Croissant Sandwich Combo. Enjoy a buttery croissant with your choice of ham, sausage, or bacon along with eggs, red onions, and a tropical sauce. The new Independence Croissant Sandwich comes with BK's classic hash browns and your choice of tea, coffee, or orange juice. Don't miss out on the new Independence Croissant Sandwich Combo, available all month long at Burger King Nassau. Happy Independence, Bahamas.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com.
I'm Marsha Gar. The lady run into me, Marsha Gar.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News Sales Representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, send me
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Okay. You don't have that call on the line. So, again, I don't think that we have another call on the line. Okay, go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hello, brother.
Hi, go ahead.
Brother Chicago.
Hi, how are you, sir?
Hello.
Yes, yes, Bishop, how are you?
I want to commend you, sir. And another thing you've proven is you don't have to wear a collar to do Christian work. I commend you, and I just want to encourage you to continue reaching out to those who are the least among us. God bless you, man.
Thank you, Bishop. I appreciate it. Yeah, and let me say, there are a number of people I know who are quietly, you know, helping where they can, including some churches that I know of.
Hearing you well, you. For some reason.
I don't know. I was saying, can you hear me now, Bishop?
A little better, yes.
Yeah, I don't know why. But I was saying that there are a number of individuals and churches I know who have a sustained program of helping people in need. But the mentally unwell, I feel like...
Yeah. One of the problems, though, we have is we continue, as I said in a comment earlier, rugged capitalism promote homelessness, and some people just got to be poor with the system we have. We need to be more socially conscious. I said to a group of pastors the other day, we need to stop talking about going to heaven and start talking about how we could live better on this earth.
Well, you know, Bishop, I'll tell you this much. Capitalism actually lifts more people out of poverty than the alternatives to it. It isn't perfect. It certainly creates a gap between rich and poor. But I think the evidence on the ability of capitalism to lift people out of poverty is quite clear over the course of human history.
Yes. But we need to do more, and you know, you can't have 9 million tourists and then you got some people living in misery, and the misery index continues to climb. And
yeah, but you see,
I think we just need to be more socially conscious as a people.
But you see,
and
but you see,
let's
Bishop,
duplicate
you see,
what you've done. Stop. Mm. One of the things I teach in my evangelism class, when you give a man a dollar, ask him his name. You identify him as a human being who simply needs a dollar, but he's still a human person.
Yeah, that's what I asked a lady her name today. She gave me a very odd name, but I mean, that's her name. That's what she told me her name was. So what can I do? I think that, you know, there are many things that are probably involved that people are in their lives. And I don't think we should. We don't want to make assumptions about it, because as you say, you know, what we need to do is we need to engage and find out what the issues are. And so that we can know, is this economics driving it, or is it a genetic situation driving it? So we can know, and, you know, that gives us more power to help. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, bless her, brother. Like.
Hey, what's happening?
Yeah, listen, you know, running with the bishop, right? He always does, like, things I like to hear. Like, he be saying, make life better while he's on earth, right? And I thought that was kind of moving. You wouldn't think so?
No, and absolutely. So, like, there is no greater calling for Christians than to impact the world through the good they do. That's what the Bible says. What does God want you to do? What is the will of God? That you should do good. That's the will of God.
Yeah, but, you know, with man... We eventually, as we get older, we find that not all of mankind is kind and have a good mind. But the wickedness, they can never be blind. But I called to commend you also because I was saying, wow, I didn't know Chicago had that in him. You know, like, you know, living in the inner city and having a little small business in the inner city, I see the separation, you know. I mentioned it a few times on my show, but you have to, and I mean, to be honest with you, if I was rich, I would help. But, you know, I realize you can't help everybody and you can't be too nice, like, but some people, like what I, how I look at it after I heard you say that, you know, it affects me, it affects everybody, but these people moving around the town, you can see they have mental problems, but nobody stops to find out and, like, really psychoanalyze them, whether it be a cohort of, you know, physicians and psychologists and psychiatrists, et cetera, to start to attack this problem. But you would notice that there's more people like this, right, moving around. So the numbers are increasing, and then, you know, it's invading. I just feel for them sometimes, but, you know, you only could do so much, Brother Lang, but... I mean, I just thought I'd get it in there. I was surprised, you know. I didn't, when I called you, I didn't know it was your mom's birthday, so I just called and wish you a happy birthday because my own is today, right?
Oh, wow, happy birthday to you, man.
Yeah, and so I said to myself, I say, wow, I see why Brother Lang so strong, you know. I said, Brother Leo, she's a strong woman.
That's why he's so strong-headed.
I say, no, I don't know your mom, but I'm sure she have good qualities to produce you and your siblings. So I say, wow, she's a Leo. So I know, you don't have to say, you don't have to tell me anything about her. You understand me, my brother? But just wish her a happy birthday, and she lives to see 30 more.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it.
Ain't no wicked man to see over 90. And I looking to see that. I ain't nobody wicked on. I don't know about you, but they done poison us so much. That's the downside of capitalism. But rich people do help poor people, you know, Brother Lang. And some don't want their names out there, you know. You understand me?
Rich people send me to school.
They ain't put enough to provide us to be in that position, like. Bless up.
Yeah, man. Take care. Rich people send me to school. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, Hi, Mr. Lang. Good afternoon. Sorry about that. What I wanted to say, Mr. Lang, we passed there was a mental health bill that was passed in Parliament, I think, earlier this year or last year sometime, that sought to deal with individuals who did not have the mental capabilities of, taking care of themselves and putting them into an institution. So, I mean, has that bill been fully activated? Has anybody been taken off the street? Homeless people?
But I don't know that that's what the bill was intended to do. The bill was in fact in ways enforcing their rights. I think the bill provides if you are a threat to yourself or to the public, there is every power in the law to deal with you. But if you are not, your freedom cannot be abridged by any arbitrary decision by a government because you are mentally unwell. No, can't happen. Can't happen.
Okay, maybe I misread the intent of the law, but I thought it was to deal with vagrants and people like that. You know, I mean, I know that homelessness, because I just listened to something in the States, you know, homelessness in the States particularly, they have seen a 200%, 200% increase in homelessness in the U.S. It's just, you know,
Let's look at the parts of the bill, right? So the bill has a part one, which are just the preliminary thing for interpretation and definitions and stuff. Part two is the promotion of mental health. The part three is mental health care and treatment decisions, meaning the capacity to make decisions, nominate another representative, best interest of the child, and all that kind of stuff. That's not taking anybody off the street. Then there's part four, which says the rights of persons with mental illness. It talks about their rights, their right to access mental health and medical services, their right to live in community, their right not to be services, their right to information, their right to communication, their right to access to health records. And then part five is about care and treatment of mental illness, right? and it talks about diagnosis and those kinds of things, and voluntary admission of a person diagnosed, voluntary, not mandatory, you know. So I don't think that the law will ever provide a circumstance in which a person can arbitrarily be taken off the street and held because they're mentally unwell.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Well, I probably misunderstood what the law was really being said. Thanks. But I mean, if sometimes, you know, we have to save people from themselves, and you know, because some people just don't have that capability.
Yeah. But we have laws that provide for that. You can save people from themselves. That's what I'm saying. If they are a danger to themselves, or they're a danger to somebody else, but someone has to first make a diagnosis of your illness and then make a determination that you are requiring the kind of care that might include being placed in a mental facility until you are well. But that's not an arbitrary decision that you could just walk on the street and say, oh, you know what, I need to put you in the home.
Right, I mean, there ought to be some telltale sign that this person isn't mentally stable, right? I mean, there's some.
Yeah, but if I make a determination that you are mentally unwell, and remember, mental unwellness has a range, brother. There are many of us who are running around who are mentally unwell. We ain't counting no lampposts. But
yeah,
we are still mentally unwell.
I could go crazy at one point in time.
Hold on. I'm trying to educate people on the show, so I want to be careful. I'm not talking about going crazy. I'm saying to you, friend, that you and I can be diagnosed with a level of mental unwellness that has nothing to do with going crazy. We could be depressed. We could have severe depression. We could be obsessing over things. We could have compulsive behaviors. So this isn't about counting lampposts. So I'm saying that we have to be careful that just because somebody's walking around talking to themselves and you say they're mentally unwell, and they may well be, that doesn't mean they should be deprived of their freedom. Right? Do you and I not have the right to not live in a house if we don't want? If I decide I don't want to live in a house no more, I don't have to live in a house. I could walk up and down and live outside if I want. Even if I'm mentally well, I could do that. Do we have another call on the line? No? Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to take a break for news. We'll be back after the news break.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. So glad y'all could join me here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259 from the Family Islands, 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Might I say, I'm leaving this alone, but might I say, we probably shouldn't underestimate the extent to which the series of things that have happened in Grand Bahama may have been contributing to the mental challenges that many people may be having here. We've had Francis and Jean, which was tragic. We had Dorian, you know, which was tragic. Then we had the pandemic. We had a significant economic hammer over the course of the last 25 years. Lots of strain, lots of pressures. And Grand Bahamians are fighters, man. I'm telling you, they fighters, right? They plug away, man. They plug away, right? But sometimes it comes too much, just too much for some people, you know? So let me say something to you, all right? There are aspects of politics and political life where I am I'm a Fred Mitchell fan. Fred Mitchell is a dedicated political personality. Okay? I know sometimes you get ticked off with him, right? With all these voice notes and stuff like that and what have you. And but I'm just talking about the pure politics of life. He is dedicated, committed. So in the NASA Guardian, Fred Mitchell is being quoted as saying, "I never said the country has a cash flow problem." This is written by Rachel Scott, right? What the quote from the minister is saying, because, you know, the minister is reacting to pre-national movements leader, calling him out on his statement that the Bahamian economy is in a economic squeeze. Right? Mr. Mitchell says that he never said that the country has a cash flow problem. He said that suddenly became, he said, well, first of all, he said, "These two shameless individuals have the temerity to prevaricate," big word, "and twist public falsehoods. Government of the Bahamas is carefully controlling expenditure and seeks not to go to the market to borrow like the prudent housewife is putting aside money for a rainy day," he said. So that suddenly became my saying that the country has a cash flow problem or cash crunch. No such thing was said. I agree with him 100%. No one said, he said, the country has a cash flow problem. He didn't say that. He said the country had, the country has is in an economic squeeze. That's what he said. That was a quote. Did he not say that? Did the minister not say that the country was in an economic squeeze? Let me see what the article said. He said, I mean, it's quite interesting what he's doing. He says, the article says, this is what the article is quoting the minister saying. He added, and this is in quotation marks, according to the Guardian, "The country is in a tight economic squeeze." That's what he said. He didn't say cash flow problem. He said a tight economic squeeze. What does that mean? Right? So he didn't say cash flow problem. So if the opposition said he said the country is in a tight cash flow problem, say that. But if the opposition interprets his language to mean that, I think that there's room for that. He said economic squeeze. So he says the government doesn't want, that's why I said you can't conflate the government's financial circumstances with the economy. See, What the minister might be saying is this, right? Minister might be saying, "No, I wasn't saying that the country has a cash flow problem. What I am saying is that the government's fiscal space to borrow is tight. So we don't want to, for in the circumstances, to go and borrow So what we're doing is trying to collect all the revenue we can collect so that we don't have to borrow, so that in case something happens, we have room to borrow. But you know what happens? You can't make that leap. I could interpret that, really, because I understand the economy is not the financial operations of the government. But the minister did not say that the government's fiscal debt space is tight. He said the economy is in a tight economic squeeze. The country is in a tight economic... Listen, if you are an investor out in the world and you hear a minister say that, that's not talking up the economy. That's talking the economy down. So, no, I don't think you would misinterpret it. I think that the statement economic squeeze can cover a multitude of possibilities, including a tight cash flow problem. But he did not say those words. That is true. But what he wanted you to do was to focus on the one thing he did say that isn't argue, that you ain't really argue against, right? Which is that we don't want to go borrow. We'd prefer to go and collect the taxes that is owed. And so you're going to argue against that. The taxes are owed. Right? But you did say the country's in a tight economic squeeze now, and that means a lot of things. That implies a lot of things. In fact, that's not good language for a government that wants people to think that the economy is doing well. It's not good language. His text says, good afternoon, Lang. Why is it that Fred Mitchell believes that he is the leader of the PLP? You're always trying to out-talk the PM. He needs to stand down sometimes. Chairman, I said that yesterday, he's the chairman of the party. This text says, great show as usual, Mr. Lang. If everyone in the Bahamas take DNA tests, some of us would be counting Lampole and not be mentally well. Okay. When politicians row over the economy and do not refer to objective data, it is like two children rowing about who have the prettiest marble. That's what it's like, because if you have objective data to qualify your observation of things, then of course you could be interpreted on all kinds of ways. That's just the nature of openness. Texas, Mr. Lang, I honestly think Mr. Mitchell is a very shrewd politician. However, for me, I abhor his style of politics. Somehow he comes across to me with a personal venomous spiel. He's very serious. He's not a clowny guy. You know, I'm accused of that sometimes too, but he's not someone who's given to lots of, you know, lightness in his discourse in politics. And he does, and he can be really harsh sometimes as he goes about his business, you know. But truly he is, no doubt about it. And now part of that, I think, is that he's dedicated. He's a full-time politician. He ain't even trying to partial that. And he is dedicated to his partisan point of view. Dedicated. And more often than not, he when he arrives at a position, he thought through it and committed himself to it himself. Not wishy-washy. He could be, you could think he's wrong, but he ain't wishy-washy on it. He's a bright fellow, you know. But I have to say, you can't tell me you never said the country was in had a cash flow problem. well, you could say that, but that is that wasn't really that's. I don't know what the opposition really altogether said to you, but you did say you quoted in the papers and you didn't refute it that you said the country's in a tight economic squeeze. They are not good words to describe the economy by the government. Now, I can tell you the government's cash flow. Hey, this isn't even a revelation, man. The government of the Bahamas has battled cash flow challenges for decades. Decades. Right? Decades, man. Says, somebody sent me a text, says, what is a squeeze? The term squeeze in the context of business is often used to describe financial and business situations which involve some kind of market pressure. For industry, it is a time when borrowing is difficult or time when profits decline. Yeah. Well, let's put it like this. Squeeze ain't good. It's the opposite of robust. Expansive, right? Squeezing. The squeeze is tight, man. Man, I'm trying to maneuver, but it ain't. No room to maneuver. It's a little rough. But of course, I know Mr. Mitchell knows that when you are in the business of politics, your words become fodder for the partisan political. And why not? The tools you use against people are the tools they'll use against you. Right? That's gonna happen. And the fact that you haven't explained yourself means that the opposition did their job. Can I tell you that? See, think about this, right? If the opposition had said something about what the minister said, that he didn't think could resonate with people, he'd have moved right on. That just makes sense. Why waste your time with something don't have an impact? But when the opposition says something that you think might resonate, you better clear that up. Better clear that up. Now the opposition is trying to, the opposition said, they are now admitting what we have been saying all along. Right? That the economy is not in good shape. Economic tight squeeze, that means it ain't in good shape. Right? And the minister comes back and says, I didn't say the cash flow was a problem. No, you said the economy is in a tight squeeze. So if I'm the opposition, I'm coming back and saying, okay, so you didn't say the cash flows, but you said the economy is in a tight squeeze. What does that mean? What should a Bahamian without a job imply from that? What should a Bahamian who's underemployed imply from that? What should the businessman already confronted with a tight situation imply from that? Or take from that? Right? I'm sure they're not going to take optimism from it. What should the investor looking to invest in the economy take from those words? So that's the challenge and the problem he would have. You see? But again, I don't think it was intended to be said the way he said it. But it is not uncommon in this country for people to conflate. Conflate means to put together as if they were almost one and the same or very, very, very closely related. The economy and the government's finances. We love to do that. We have a successful launch of VAT and or government revenue is doing good, then we say, oh, wait, really? Oh, really? That's automatic? Yeah? Okay. I understand. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to pay our respects to our sponsors. We'll be back after this break.
Living with a neurological condition shouldn't define you. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we do whatever it takes to make life better today while discovering new treatments for a brighter tomorrow. From epilepsy management to specialized spine care and brain tumor surgery, we're delivering world-class neurology care for the day-to-day, for the days you live for every care in the world. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/Caribbean.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I ain't mashed the car. The lady run into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns, where they hiding the drugs, who shoot who part of which gang, or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles.
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands. Or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, everybody.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us for 9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. I noticed in the Guardian something that I thought was positive. The commissioner of police was providing information. That's the first thing. right, on the investigation being undertaken. That's the first thing. Forget what the information was. He was providing information first. That's important. And I trust and hope that they make that a regular thing. Okay, don't wait till 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 weeks and then come back and bring information. Go regularly, even if you're just saying, well, nothing new to report. But we're still at it. That's the first thing. And then he's saying that he was confirming that they are cooperating with international partners, including the United Kingdom's National Crime Agency, to aid in the investigation. And they were confirming that senior officials from the that agency coming to the Bahamas, in his words, certain aspects of the investigation. And these individuals are going to arrive August 14th to oversee the investigation. Some of them will arrive then, at least. And he gave some names: John Michael McEwen, head of the NCA's anti-corruption unit; Andrew John Palak; and then someone from their Miami office, Francisco Savaki Iyaru, is also going to join them. And he indicates that they are fully cooperating with these international experts to ensure that all aspects of the investigation are comprehensively covered. This is after the former prime minister called their forces' investigation woefully insufficient. It says, police force cannot lead an investigation into police force. Well, the last people took to the voice notes on Chicago Line. They wanted me to know that Dr. Mendez is always prepared and blah, blah, blah. Well, I never said he wasn't prepared. I queried some of the things he says, and boy, did they get upset. Oh, my gosh. Well, if the police force cannot lead an investigation into the police force, we need to get rid of the police's anti-crime unit, that anti-corruption unit that existed under the Menes administration, under the Ingram administration, under the Christie administration. Because they got one. They police investigate police every day. Every day. And the UK has an, you all notice what it said, the UK has an anti-corruption unit. Well, the UK just have a big probe involving corruption in the police force. And their police are coming here to help us. Somebody sent it to me. I tell them, so maybe our police should go there and also help them investigate. I don't think you can say that the police can't lead an investigation to the police force. This is not the police force being investigated. This is a person in the police, on the police force, being investigated. And they've done a noble thing in inviting international third party to come and provide another set of eyes. But let there be no doubt about it. The police is investigating a police officer. And that has always been the case all over the world. Who investigates the police when some corruption happens in the police in the United States of America? The courts don't get involved unless the police get prosecuted. That's how come the police get fired or the police get suspended, because the police force is investigating the police force, or the police force is investigating one of its own. That's a standard. That happens. I don't believe that they can't. I believe that this situation is aided by a third party examining the circumstances. But in the day we decide that the police cannot investigate the police, we probably need to decide what we can do with the police. You mean the whole police force? 1, 2, 3, 4 police officers are corrupt, and you can't rely on them to investigate the matter? No, this just happens to be a very senior person. But the police is investigating police every day. I ain't asking nobody. Police been fired. Police been kicked off the force by the commissioner after and following the investigation. When I took my Build Young People to the police headquarters in Grand Bahama, their anti-corruption unit explained how they investigate police officers who have complaints made. You mean the police can't investigate police? They've been doing that under all these prime ministers in the Bahamas. All. So let's be clear on the facts, please. Right? We cannot suggest that our police cannot investigate a police. In this circumstance, I think it's good and useful to have senior people from elsewhere helping. So good day, Mr. Lang. I had an aunt in England talking to me last week. Her words, the chair of the PLP needs to give up the chairman, and then suppose he is very bitter. Okay. The Texas, Mr. Lang, I guarantee you that no investor or stakeholder would exclusively or solely consider Mr. Mitchell's words without first examining the economic and political stability, along with market potential and other economic factors. I have a master's in economics, and that entire idea, just nonsense on the face of it. Well, here's the thing about it, though. You're right. I don't disagree with you at all. But here's the thing. The fact that they would have to go and look and check against what a minister says matters. So you can't tell me that it, ministers could go around willy-nilly just talking about the economy and somebody ain't gonna believe them because they look at this indicator and that indicator. You could have a master's, a doctorate, and I could tell you the reality is people don't only look at numbers. They also look at sentiments that leadership in the political realm have because they say maybe they know something I don't know. See, remember, every indicator, most indicators are historic. They're not talking about what's happening, going to happen in the future. So people treat people to find out what time it is. That's why the IMF comes and interviews them. You don't think the IMF could go and look at the economic data? No, they're trying to get a sense of where you're headed, what you see, what's going on. So no, bro. I'm sorry. Yes. No, they're not going to solely base it on a minister's comment, but they will take it into account. And that's why ministers have to be careful what they say, period. Why do you think Mr. Mitchell is now trying to correct what he said? Or trying to clarify what he said, right? Don't buy that. When I was a cabinet minister, and the minister of state in the Ministry of Finance, I had to be extremely careful what I said about the economy. And you think there wasn't economic data in existence then? No, people divide. If Warren Buffett came out and said something negative about the economy right now, it is possible it could move the market. Texas, Mr. Lang, the commissioner of police had been lacking in providing updates on the case involving the CDU chief. And international investigators will be here for about 3 days. I'm extremely concerned about how this investigation is going. Are they going to be here for 3 days? Is that what you gathered? Is that what he said? He says, hello, brother. In the U.S., I really thought FBI investigates serious police matters. The Federal Bureau of Investigation is the Federal Bureau of Investigation. They investigate federal matters, right? If you have an issue in Georgia with the police, you can invite the FBI to come in, but you don't have to. You deal with it yourself. Says, yes, but in this case, you have the force that may require a separation or independent body to resort the confidence. Yeah, that's what I said. I'm agreeing with you. That's why I said that. So, Mr. Lang, I honestly think Mr. Mitchell is a very shrewd politician, however. Oh, you said that already. So yesterday's from the 14th to the 17th was announced. Okay. Maybe that's all the bread. Maybe that's all they say they need. Yeah. I don't know. What I read was that, this is what I read. This is the article I read. It said that Andrew John Black, a senior investigator, and the other guy, will be arriving in the Bahamas from UK on August 14th, 2024, to personally oversee aspects of this investigation. End of sentence. Then they say, we are scheduled to depart on August 17th. Oh, yeah, so, yes, so. 3 days. 3 days. Maybe that's all they think they need. They got the files already, you know. We had the files for a while. So, you know. You have to see how this all turns out. But again, they're here. See, you can't, who do you think determined how long they needed to be here? Them or the police? Right? Think about that. So I'm not going to start to second guess them because they're of the short time in which they may be here. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take our final break and be back after this break. Take a stand.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
Hey Bahamas, ready for some eye openers? Check out two brand new books by our legendary three-time PM, Hubert Ingraham. Get the tea on his amazing leadership and courage to buck the system. These books are for you. The game changers, movers and shakers, and anyone passionate about our nation's roots and future. Available now at Dungalik Studios, Logos Bookstore, the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and Chapter One Bookstore. Celebrate our amazing legacy.
The Guardian Media Group has your ticket to Paris.
On your marks, get set, go!
Join the Guardian Media Group, Star 106 Hits, Guardian Radio 96.9, and Hot 91 FM. And follow Team Bahamas from Paradise to Paris. Live comprehensive updates on Team Bahamas every day during the 2024 Summer Olympics. We are your ticket to Paris. Nassau Guardian Sports Editor Sheldon Longley will be trackside, bringing you closest to our athletes in their quest for gold. From Paradise to Paris. The 2024 Summer Olympics. Live updates brought to you by gold sponsors, the Bahamas Ministry of Tourism, Jimmy Wines and Spirits, distributors of Refreshing Sands Beer, silver sponsor Executive Motors, and the bronze sponsors Hertz Rent-A-Car, Nagico Insurance, Bay Street Garage, Nassau Motors, your Chevy and Honda dealers, and New Life Natural. Let the games begin.
Stephen Gardner alongside 100-meter hurdler Devin Charlton.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. Tech says the Internal Affairs Division is the branch of the police force that investigates other police in the U.S. Yeah. Yeah, they are the police, right? Yep. I think it's important that the police gets this right, and so I'm sure we'll all be watching very closely to see how it all unfolds. I was listening to a bit of Howard's show. I caught some of it, not a lot of it, because I was dealing with this Danamano. Saw some of it. Which asking about the what is the ministry of grandmama for? What does it exist for? Which I think is a fair question. Except here's what you can't do with a question like that. Is because you and I may have a notion of what we think it should be, that doesn't have anything to do with what it's supposed to be. Here's why. A ministry gets its mandate from the person who appointed the minister and created the ministry, and that's the prime minister. So if you want to know what the ministry is responsible for, you got to ask the prime minister, and generally that's described in the portfolio allocation that's given to the minister by the governor general when they are sworn in. I don't know if y'all know that. And it's also gazetted, right? It says, okay, responsible for this, customs, treasury department, relations with the central bank, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's what it says. And there might be some legislation that having as part of the authority in the legislation, so they have that responsibility as well. So we don't have the luxury of simply thinking, oh, it's the ministry of grandmama, they should do everything in grandmama, they should do this for grandma. That's not how it works. Your portfolio allocation tells you what your responsibility is. So just look at the portfolio for Grand Bahama, and you'll know what the responsibility of the Ministry for Grand Bahama is. A Minister of State does not have a portfolio. Minister of State handles matters within a portfolio. He could handle, or she could handle, all the matters in the portfolio if the Prime Minister so desires. As in when maybe he is Minister of Finance, but the Minister of State is the Minister of State in Finance. But it's a minister with portfolio that has, so when you are sworn in as a minister of state, you're not given a portfolio. You're not given a certificate from the governor general that says responsible for this, 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 and that. You don't get anything. But if you're the portfolio minister, you get that. And so Ginger Moxie is the minister with portfolio for the Ministry of Grand Bahama. And you can't just listen to the words Minister for Grand Bahama and think you know what her responsibilities are. You have to look in the items in her portfolio. And that will tell you what her responsibilities are. And that's true for every minister. I think that's an important, if you're going to speak about, if you're going to speak about these ministers, ministries, and their responsibilities and their effectiveness and so forth, because you can only hold me accountable in a ministry for that which I am responsible for. Right? And that's the same thing with a member of parliament. I mean, we blame members of parliament for many things. We believe they should be doing many things. But the truth is, that's not, a lot of times what we say they should be doing isn't what they should be doing. It's only what we think they should be doing. So if Minister Moxie, Ginger Moxie is, for instance, mounting programs for that are employing people through cleanup campaigns and all that kind of stuff, and that's included in her portfolio, then she's doing her job or some aspect of it, right? And it's easy to, it's possible to know what these portfolio allocations are, because they write in the Gazette, and the Gazetted one is online. I don't know if I could find it for you, but it says, Ginger Moxie, the Honorable Ginger Moxie Ingram, Minister for Grand Bahama, here is her. Our responsibilities. I should put on some eyes to read them. So here's our responsibility: coordination and liaison with ministries. Relations with the Grand Bahama Port Authority. Revitalization and promotion of Grand Bahama as a tourism and industrial center. Promotion of agriculture development in Grand Bahama. Advancement of health and educational infrastructure. Promotion of employment and entrepreneurial opportunities in Grand Bahama. Development of the Grand Bahama International Airport. Community relocation and restoration in East and West Grand Bahama. Relations with urban renewal, Grand Bahama. Relations with Disaster and Risk Management Reconstruction Authority, Grand Bahama. Relations with Grand Lucaya Resorts Corporation and Community Engagement and Empowerment in Grand Bahama. That's a responsibility. That's what the Prime Minister asked her to do as Minister for Grand Bahama. And now we are all informed. You don't have to doubt it. You don't have to. You now know. See, Alan was just sending it to me. Thanks, bro. So if you're going to judge her, you judge her on the basis of how well she is doing those things. And for instance, you have to look at what she's supposed to do. If she's supposed to be liaising, then you have to ask, is she liaising meaning? Is she, right? And the same thing for any other minister. Who has responsibility for something. That's one thing we do in politics a lot, is we just give people jobs, things they don't have. We love to do that. Says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang in Bahamas. First Corinthians says, it's very clear when it comes to judging. Indeed, the Holy Bible is clear on judging. Just my view. What does that mean? What does that mean? What does that have to do with what we said today? Is that from something from yesterday? Also, might I note, in politics, perception is reality for lots of people. And so people's perception of you could be entirely different than the actuality of you. But what people have is their perception. And if they think you ain't this, or if they think you are this, they then respond, react, support, or don't support on the basis of that. But I could only caution us to be careful. Right? I mean, honestly, we are not fair. So let me give an example. Don't get offended. So 52 said, I was actually surprised because I didn't know like that's something you would do. But you know me, for instance. I mean, I know you from in dialoguing on the radio. And what you say about yourself, what I say about myself, you know. I don't know what you do with many of your hours. You could spend those hours just wonderfully serving the poor of your community. I don't know. And if you don't brag about it, if you're not one of those persons who want to brag about it, I don't know. The same thing is true for politicians. We don't know them. We put perceptions based on one or two things, and let's admit, oftentimes based on one or two things, and then we ascribe perhaps a certain weight to them. We don't altogether know. But maybe in part, if you're some of these ministers and members of parliament, maybe they are at fault because maybe they should spend more time helping people actually see or know what they're doing. Report on your ministry as fully as you can. Report on your constituency activity as fully as you can. And then maybe what people perceive could be changed by what they have actually had reported to them, because they could then go there and verify it. Right? They could go verify it. Because it isn't unusual for people to want to put narratives on you, you know. Oh, your enemies, your opponents, they will, if they could get away with sticking a narrative on you, boy, they will. That may not send a message to me, want to resist that with all your might, because if they get that to stick, and he was right, that's what you got to do sometimes, because people will hold on to the first thought they get of you and many other things. So that's just a word to all the wise in the country. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago, like your host. God's best life. We'll talk to you again next time. Take care. Everybody.